Good morning. It's good to see you here today. Now, I spent the better part of the last 20 years as an instructor, teacher in higher ed, and the only thing more dangerous than giving a preacher a microphone is giving a professor one. So you all were wondering what you're going to do with that extra hour you gained last night. We're about to find out. So the occupational hazard of having me come here and preach to you is that I'm really not a preacher. I'm more of a teacher. John and I went to see Tony Evans 6 or 7 months ago, and he was doing the welcome and introduction, and it turned into a sermon. So whatever Tony Evans can turn into a welcome, into a sermon, I'm the opposite of that. So if you'll bear with me, I want to spend some time to talk about some things that I'm going through working through and ask God, what's he trying to teach me? Ultimately, we'll get to the verse that's on our service folder in Psalms 27. And it says, some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but I will trust in the name of the Lord. I've been trying to keep a secret from some of y'all, and I haven't been very good at it. Some of y'all look at me sort of walking around. It looks like I'm walking and stumbling and tripping and falling. Well, the truth is that I am. And part of the purpose of me talking about this is not to bring any attention to myself, but bring what I went through to the attention in serving God and how we relate to God. I came across an article a few weeks ago called Living with a Limp. Living with a Limp. And we as Christians, we all live with a limp, don't we? You know, and when I think about this, is that I ask the Lord, I says, why am I going through this? I mean, I wish I had a great story to tell you. I wish that I could tell you that there was some great football feat happened to me some time in high school or college where I caught the winning pass and I hurt myself and I was eliminated from going to the pros due to that career-ending injury. I wish I could do that, but I can't. I wish I could tell you that I saved a baby on the train tracks. I'm not sure what a baby would be doing on the train tracks, but it makes a good story. The only thing I can tell you is that the reason I'm suffering is because I had another birthday. So what I'm going through is a mild inconvenience medically. It's a mild inconvenience from what some of you are going through, and I understand that. But when I came across this article talking about living with a limp, I think it helped me understand. It helped me think about this verse. And you know, sometimes when you read your Bible on an ongoing basis, I've got a little Bible app that I use every day to sort of keep me true to my reading plan. And if I miss a day, I just go to the next day. So don't worry about it. I'm sure I'll catch up with it sooner or later. But you read these verses, and some of these verses come to mind when you pray to God. And the verse, I could only get part of the verse that came to mind was that in our weakness, he is made strong. And the verse that I had to go in my concordance and look this up. This is 2 Corinthians 12:9. And it says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weakness. This is Paul speaking, so that the power of Christ may rest upon you. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with this weakness, or with insults, with hardship, with persecution, with calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I think all too often in our Christian faith and some of our circles is we're quick to claim our victories, to talk what it means to be a good Christian, and we always want to celebrate our victories, and we want to hide our defeats. And we wonder if that's the Christian life and what it's all about. But Paul here in this verse in Corinthians, he boasted in his weakness. That's counterintuitive to us. If you're from Belmead, that means it don't make sense. It doesn't make sense to us. Is that why would I boast in my weakness? Because this victory, if I have any victory in this life, it's not my victory. If I have a victory in this life, who does it belong to? It belongs to the Lord. So I'm not going to trust in chariots, and I'm not going to trust in horses or four-wheelers. but I'm going to trust in the Lord. I also thought about that many of us live defeated lives because we are trying to sanctify ourselves. And when we are saved with Jesus Christ, He justifies us. He justifies us so we have a right standing before God. So if God asked you, why should I let you into heaven? You should say, well, you shouldn't let me into heaven, but because of the price that Jesus paid, and because I'm accepted by Jesus Christ, and because I've been justified by Jesus Christ. That's why I stand before you. And I just beg for your mercy because I don't deserve to be here. Now, the sanctifying process, this is a trick question I usually ask pastors. I said, is sanctification, is that our process? Is sanctification something we do? Is it something that God does? And I heard it interesting today, interesting this past week, and I don't know if I can know enough to intelligently talk about it, but that didn't stop me from talking about it. But somebody mentioned that sanctification is 100% God and 100% you. In other words, this process, and I call this a rehabilitation process, is that when we're saved, we put off our old man and we take on our new man. But sometimes our psychology, our thinking, our psyche, our situation doesn't change, does it? And that's why we have to boast in our weakness. That's why I walk with a limp. I not only walk with a limp because I physically have something that needs some medical intervention, but I walk with a limp spiritually. I've got some scars spiritually. And I know you've got some scars too. And so I just want to mention that here is that Paul doesn't tell us to hide our weaknesses, to boast in them, not to brag about our sin, but just admit that we've got some things that we need help with. And I'm going to talk about five ways that we can understand how to use this weakness for God's glory. Through our experiences, we all have scars. Some of those are emotional and physical. Some are psychological. Some are spiritual. We all have survival stories of the battles we fought. Now, I'll mention a story in a minute, and I'll give you a quote from the article I read. But there's a real interesting battle you hear about with Jacob in Genesis 32. You remember Jacob, don't you? Jacob was a crafty character. He was a little brother that stole his older brother's birthright. He was a little brother that ran off to Uncle Laban and stayed with Uncle Laban. He's the one who married, I think, Rachel and Leah, Rebecca and Leah, one of those R names. My wife will know, she can correct me later. So Jacob is the one we think about who robbed Esau. And so when you read about Genesis 32, he talks about that he knows that Esau's coming back, and he's afraid Esau wants his pound of flesh. He's afraid that Esau wants revenge. The older brother's coming to get what's his. And so he sends 9 waves of gifts to him, goats and cattle and calves. Not an iPhone in any of those 9 waves, but he does send Esau what was due him. And then the last day before he's supposed to meet him, he sends his family away, and then he goes stays off by himself. And later on that night, he comes across a character that he wrestles with. He wrestles with what the Bible talks about as a man. He wrestles with this man all night long. And until daybreak that he had stayed up with this man. And he says, the man asked to release him. You release me. He says, I'm not going to release you until you bless me. And the man pops his chicken leg out of his socket. He pops his hip out of his socket. And he realizes that that was God he was wrestling with. Do you think Jacob walked with a limp after that? Do you think that limp reminded him of wrestling with God? Do you think Jacob was a slow learner? Realize I'm a slow learner sometimes too. So this article I read and thought about is called Living with a Limp. An article opens up, I don't know if any of y'all remember in the power teams. Back in the 80s, they had these power teams, and these were big old boys. These boards could clean your refrigerator out in one sitting. These were big old guys, and they would do these. They would bend rebar, and they would tear phone books in half, and they would lift weights and break concrete blocks and all sorts of things. And they were demonstrating that you didn't have to be a wimp to be a Christian. And they were showing you how you could live a victorious life. And so that's where this article starts. And he talks about, this is a guy that's down in Austin, a guy named Eric Landry. And he says, if you struggle, if you fail, if your feats of strength end in an embarrassing whimper for help, as those boys became men, I wonder how many of them walked their pilgrimage with a limp. He was talking about is that what I talked about earlier, is that we're quick to claim our victories, but we don't ever claim our weaknesses. Or we don't ever look at our weaknesses as a way to say that this is where God's going to make me strong. I've been in situations, so have you, is that you have nothing, there's nothing left for you to do except depend on God. It's an uncomfortable place, but it's a good place. It's not an easy place, but it's a place that we all live. So I wanted to share some more with you is that how does God use our infirmities? How does God use our limps, if you will? How does God use these opportunities to teach us about Him? I want to talk to you about first is that this life is temporary. None of us get out alive. I'll talk about Robbie because he's not here. Robbie at the funeral home over there at Aderholds. I've checked every one of their vehicles. I've checked their personal cars. I've snuck in their garages and looked at their cars. Not a single one of them got a trailer hitch on them. You ain't taking nothing with you. This life is it. And this life is temporary. Because our goal is not to live this life for all it's worth. Our goal is to enter into the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and live that life for all it's worth. So it's not the best life now. It's the best life then when we enter to glory, into the presence of Jesus Christ. The verse I would remind you of is in Hebrews 9:27. Imagine there's a slide up there. In Hebrews 9:27 says, "And in as much as it is appointed for men to die once, and after that comes judgment." So we will all be judged. But if we have entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ, our judgment is hidden with Him because He has made us righteous. He's taken on all our sinfulness and imputed to us His righteousness. The second thing I thought about in this infirmity is that we are all in need of a great physician. The CDC, the Center of Disease and Control, the FDA, many research facilities across the land are trying to cure diseases that we don't have cures for now. But this great physician cures the worst disease of all, and that is a disease that we're born into, is that we're born into our sins and trespasses. This great physician takes those sins away. This great physician sanctifies you, and he justifies you, and he says, "Come in, good and faithful servant." That's the great physician that I'm looking for. In Mark 2:17, it says, "In hearing this, Jesus said to them, 'It's not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners.'" So Jesus came to heal the sick. Brother, I'm sick. Brother, I need a great physician. Brother, I need somebody to save me from my sins. I walk with a limp, but I've got a healer coming when I enter into His presence in the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all say amen. It's all right. The other thing I wanted to talk about is that we're not in this fight alone. You ever consider it's a weird thing that we all get together on Sunday to hear a little fat preacher talk to you about Jesus and who He is and what He means to us? Is that an unusual gathering? But part of this is we can come together and we can worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We can worship one that is greater than us. We can worship one that deserves all that we can give. And so we come together. We come together to fight the good fight. In 1 Timothy 6:12 it says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. And you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." So part of the deal that we celebrate today is that we can worship together, we can encourage one another together, we can lift each other up. We can do that in a couple of ways. One of those ways is we come together for Sunday school. We come together for Bible study on Sundays and Wednesdays, and we hear God's word taught. Another way we can do that is through home groups, it's through life groups, it's through fellowship groups, whatever we want to call them. And that was in the Old Testament, or in the early first century churches. They had synagogues, but they didn't have churches, so they met in each other's homes. And that's a different, more relaxed format to where we can share our infirmities, where we can share, is that, why do I have a spiritual limp? And I've got this one thing I'm working on that I just keep going back. It's the same sin I'm dealing with. You know, I only suffer from three things. There's only three things only three sins I commit, and they're in Hebrews. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and a boastful pride of life. Except for those three things, I got everything figured out. But in all my sins, there are all three in those. And in all your sins, they fit in all three of those. We always want something we don't want to have. We always want something to make us feel good. And we always want to brag about who we are. Maybe a little bit more than we should. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and a boastful pride of life. If I can get a handle on those three things, I got it made. But brother, I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to get a hold of those three things. But at least I know where my infirmity lies and my temptation lies and where my limp is. And I know that the things I struggle with. And the only thing I can claim is that I do need a great physician. Is I do need to turn my thoughts and my prayers and my hopes towards Jesus Christ. Not that I don't have any dog in the hunt. I still need to work on some things. If you want to know how to live, read, I don't think I have this in here. I want to read Romans 15 will tell you what you need to do. 1 Thessalonians 5, I think, will tell you how you need to live. Somebody asked Paul that life, and he talked about that. We may get there. We'll see. The other thing I want to talk about is that we rejoice together and we mourn together. You know, we have a hope. When I go preach a funeral, there's usually two scriptures I go to. Usually I go to Romans 8. And it talks about how death hadn't swallowed you up yet. Is that, death, where is thy victory? Oh, death, where is thy sting? Because our hope is not in the grave. Our hope is not in that velvet-lined coffin. Our hope is in something greater than that. Our hope is in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that's where our hope lies. When we read Romans 8, read 1 Corinthians 15. And so, when I preach a funeral, I usually preach those two chapters. I preach Romans 8 and 1 Corinthians 15. So we rejoice together and we mourn together. It talks about in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And then in James, it tells us that we should mourn. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Well, if you've ever served in ministry and you've gone on the hospital ministry, you know what that's like. You go see somebody who's got a newborn baby, you're going to rejoice. And you're going to pray for those folks. If it's a first-time baby, they have no idea what they're in for. So, but you know, you may go two floors up and a wing over, and you're talking to somebody who's on their last leg, somebody who's not going to make it. And you mourn with those folks, not because they're going to go to a worse place, but because you're mourning because it's a selfish mourning because you're going to miss them. So we can mourn and rejoice from the same parking lot. And usually that's at the hospital where we experience that. So we as believers, we as coming together today to worship on Sundays, so we come together to worship God. We come together to rejoice, and we come together to mourn, and we come together to lift each other up. And the last thing I wanted to mention was Galatians 6:2. is that we bear one another's burdens. It talks about in Galatians 6, 2, it says, bear one another's burdens and therefore fulfill the law of Christ. So a lot of times we want to not reveal our limps. Sometimes you want to be like me. You don't have to wear that. I got a boot that looks like it belongs on Darth Vader or something. It's a big black boot you got to strap on. It keeps your foot from moving a certain way. And it makes you say, I would have wore it today. And my wife said, why aren't you wearing that boot? You're preaching about it. You shouldn't be ashamed of it. I said, well, I sound like Captain Ahab up here on the stage. Every step I take, sound like a peg leg. Click, click, click. I said, I'm not going to wear it up here. But I'll put it on when I'm done. She'll make sure of that. So I got my wife over here, and I got my daughter who's going to physical therapy school. I don't have a chance between them, so y'all need to pray for me. But I wanted to mention this about bearing one another's burdens, because we come together. We don't know what each other are going through. And I'm not asking you to come to church to spill your guts, but I'm asking you that if you need prayer, talk to the person next to you. If you need prayer, realize it's okay to walk with a limp. If you've got a broke leg, it's okay to use crutches. If you walk funny, it's okay to have a cane. If you need help, it's okay to tell your brother or sister in Christ, I'm not doing so good. I still get angry with my kids. I don't know why I get so angry. I used to be an angry man as a young man. I don't know why I was angry. I'm not angry anymore. Maybe it's just because I'm forgetful. I don't know. Maybe I'm forgetful in my old age. But part of that is just taking that burden to God, just saying, I can't fix this on my own. I need your help. But part of that's also bringing believers together and praying for you and with you and letting them know, I got a limp too. This article finishes. I talked about Jacob. Let me just bring this up to Jacob. He talks about as Christians then, we walk the path of discipleship with a limp, still affected by the effects of remaining sin in our lives. I think the Old Testament patriarch Jacob is a good analogy of living with a limp today. I think sometimes, like my football knees, I wake up and my knees ache and I can remember that. Why'd I ever do that? I think Jacob woke up sometimes with his hip hurting on the side, maybe those cold, moist days. He walked with a limp. But he knew that God changed his name from Jacob to Israel, and he did bless Jacob. If we are blessed today, we can thank Jesus Christ. But sometimes we're blessed today, and we're saved, and we're justified, and we're sanctified, and one day we'll be glorified by Jesus Christ. Still doesn't mean in this life that you won't have a limp. Physically sometimes, and spiritually, almost all of us have a spiritual limp, don't we? And it's okay to recognize that in other people. Don't judge them. You know, Paul said, of all of you, I'm the worst among sinners. And I stand to you today saying, I'm worst among sinners. If I'm a room full of people, and I think, like, I'm the worst one here, because I know how much work that God's got to do on me. I know how bad my limp is and how much he needs to restore me to good health. And one last thing I want to bring about, and so I want us to think about, is that what if the Christian life is not so much about my ability to do good on my own? What if the Christian life is less about my own ability and more about my dependency on and in Christ? You see, if I claim the victory that I overcame this sin or overcame this problem in my life, then that's me boasting to myself. But if I can come to you and say, I was victorious, and I hope to stay victorious, and I still struggle with this, but if there's any victory in my life, it's because of who Jesus is and what he's done in my life. If I can't claim a victory myself, I know that is temporary. I know that I will fall. But you know what? I know that in a Christian life is that it's about my dependency on Christ. It's funny, a lot of times we come here and we're lost in our trespasses and sin, and it's only Jesus Christ who can save us. A lot of times as Christian, we come together and we want to say we're better than so. I'm better than Rusty. I'll talk about Rusty's. No, I'm not that good of a Christian, but I'm better than Rusty. But you know, that's not good enough. We're all a bunch of filthy pigs in the same pen. And sometimes as Christian, we judge one another, and all we're judging and all we're saying is that I'm a cleaner pig than you are. But you know what? I'm a dirty pig that needs a Savior. And I've got one man who can save me, and that's Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we come to you today recognizing that we all live and suffer with our infirmities, Father. And that we all walk with limps. And that's okay, God. Because just like Jacob, we know that if a blessing comes, it comes from you. If I have victory, it's because of you. I pray today, God, as we leave here today, is that we won't judge one another, but we'll pray for one another. I pray today here to God is that when I see somebody and I see them suffering spiritually, that I can lift them up and I can rejoice because I know one day they will claim victory and they will claim victory in Jesus Christ. And I rejoice today, Father, because we come together as believers who lift your name up because you are the only name that we can lift up and you are the only name that we can worship that is worthy of our praise. Amen.